interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate-changed, evilly controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 524. And this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two continuous hours, break-free. Sorry, we don't take breaks here on this network. Too much work to do. So I better get kind of moving on it here, as I need to give you a notice. Maybe those of you in France or even French-speaking countries, this is probably the future, as we see this Paris to block websites sharing news content from Sputnik and RT. So we, behind the woodshed, I use lots of those links. So those of you in France, you may need to look at the VPNs or whatever, do Tor or whatever, get around. The countries are going to lock this thing down. There's been so many links, content I could talk about. What the governments are doing to do what I was just suggesting is going to happen. When the government wants it, it's going to happen. And lots of companies are having to make that decision, and a lot of them just capitulate. So Paris is going to block Sputnik and RT links from websites. Those of you in those countries, in France at least, if you don't get the link, don't get the website, RLM, reallibertymedia.com, you may need to get a workaround, because this is what the world's coming to. As I said, they call that the deep web, make it sound scary, but you're going to have an alternative way to get around the internet. And I understand people in China. We get a lot more viewers from, or listeners coming, or readers coming from China, I notice, as well. But there's ways to work around all that. And that's partly how we're going to have to kind of go forward. Moving on here, we have a last minute thing coming down. We had a fear coming, an invasion coming from the south border. Going to open up Title 42, what they called Title 42 was a Trump-era impression of COVID restrictions for immigration. That was supposedly going to end. I have a late-breaking information. Supposed to be in place, supposed to have ended, but the administration, the Biden administration, restores Trump-era border policy at the last minute as Title 42 expires. An internal regulation has come down relative to how they're going to handle the people coming over from over the border, as we were hearing, as I was reporting last week, maybe hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And apparently Biden had to capitulate a bit here, because they just can't let that happen. They can't let a bunch of people show up. And just for the sake of, we just went through the so-called pandemic. That's what the bringing in and processing people who want to come to the country, it's not a restriction. It's a check. It's a check to make sure they're not bringing in the disease that when they get into society, while they're being run through the administrative process of naturalization, if they qualify, that they don't infect the rest of the world with things that the rest of the country with bad things. That's one of the main reasons why they do that. That's why this restriction happened. But anyway, I just wanted to point out where it may have ended. It looks like, if I can, all the things I could find, there was internal regulations, and they were told 48 hours before the termination of Title 42 for the border supposedly be open, that they're going to continue those policies that Trump put on, and they're going to continue to direct people in certain ways. And a lot of people are getting confused. A lot of people in the country, like mayors, are getting confused. This is not necessarily, if they have a work, if there's a need for workers in the country and they have a worker outside, they still have to go through the right process. That's another thing that goes on. And you don't want to have a bunch of people showing up as well that aren't really needed in a way. And then there's rules about that, and every country has them. And then you have asylum seekers, which is not employment, so you can't do it that way. There's a whole set of rules. Apparently they're going to be re-implemented, and they're going to continue the processing, notwithstanding all the news we see. Hopefully that is true, just to keep it so that we don't get a new influx of a so-called pandemic, right? I mean, this is what part of this problem is, notwithstanding the potential political ramifications of bringing in a bunch of people, socialist mindsets that really cater to the Democratic Party, which is really kind of running ruining this place, as far as I can tell, although Republicans aren't, they're helping. Another thing that seems to be moving through, and a little bit of political saber-rattling between the Democrats and the Republicans, is this debt ceiling thing. And it was stated that Biden was, because it was an impasse, and it continued to be an impasse as I get the news to this point, that Biden is now considering the 14th Amendment. So that was very interesting to me. We're back to the 14th Amendment. That's the Title 42, if you want to go see the statute about that, a part of it, which is Title 42, Section 1981. That's where you all get to pay extortions of every kind to the United States government if you identify as a status, and they don't want you to not to be that status of a United States citizen. Where the, interestingly as well, we see something in the news today. Somebody, maybe I don't get to that. So much to talk about. It's all in my mind. By the time it gets to the tabs, three quarters of what I've brought together cannot be gotten to. So anyway, there's an acknowledgement in the country that at the time of the 14th Amendment, the black folks, the people that were considered slaves at that time were free, and they were freed for a time. And then the problem with the claim to be the South, it was actually, I think, Democrats in the South that moved in, tried to impose themselves on these free people, and those free people weren't educated enough to protect themselves and keep themselves free, and so the 14th Amendment brought them back in, and you'll see that in Title 42, Section 1981. And even the white citizens are brought underneath extortion. That was your more perfect union, along the lines of the Commerce Inn. But right now, inside that 14th Amendment, there's a clause that says the debt shall not be questioned, and the Biden is now thinking about that, where he was not going to think about it before, and he's going to now try and use it to work this impasse through. And I just want to point out this. I've talked about Yellen about the problems and this and that and the other. It's all really a plan. This situation really boils down to where are they going to pay the interest? Because once the interest is paid, the bank doesn't care. And so this is really the only problem. A lot of this is superfluous nonsense. And we should be, my thought, limiting the federal government. It has a limited beginning. It has a limited function. And yet we see what it's done. And through the more perfect union and through the Roosevelt years of destroying more properties and things like in gold. And moving on till today, where we have another type of more perfect global union coming. If we're not careful, and if they're getting really close to it, I've told you they've been bringing all the points to you. So I have a little link here, that, again, from Sputnik. What is the 14th Amendment? Biden not ready to invoke and how is it tied to the U.S. debt ceiling? Well, the story I had after that it came out that he was thinking about. Point is, they're working on workarounds to try and work this debt ceiling nonsense through. And really all it is just allocating the money for the interest to the bank. Why would we have an interest to the bank? Well, if we're a sovereign nation, we don't owe anybody, right? But that's the secret. This is the more perfect union. The people didn't understand was more perfect for whom, and certainly not the people. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing. I wouldn't be here talking. We'd be free and going doing our thing. But no, everywhere we turn, we're oppressed and we're extorted, and there's really no relief. And so this is what I bring behind Woodshed to expose to you in case you run into these things. You may have an insight so that you can defend yourself. And I thought the COVID swindle, again, was the big deal, but that didn't seem to settle well. So even till today. And so moving in through what this is, so we have this contention going on. Understand that the Republicans are only looking for a compromise to cut certain types of budget items. They're not adverse to raising that ceiling, whatever that ceiling is. That's all fabricated, too. It's like levitated. And Yellen is saying, well, why don't you just get rid of it and we don't have to worry about this problem? Well, that has roll-off ramifications, and we're seeing that in the world now. People aren't trusting the so-called reserve currency, which was politicized. As I said, that was a mistake. But White House and Congress in a Mexican standoff over U.S. government debt limit, and we see the Mexico coming up in the news lately about the United States, again, saber-rattling relative to the war on drugs that started and now wants to invade Mexico. And I got to thinking again, this is a reoccurring thought as I see about this stuff. This is a Mexican standoff. Pretty interesting discussion. It was also stated at some point that the border, the Republicans are saying that the border is a failure. And that still moved me into my idea I've proffered before, which was to reorganize stuff. If they're already going to invade anyway, the United States just invades any place under this new rules-based order that it wants to put in. Now, why? I'm just going to maybe broach it again. Maybe we can get rid of this, lower the budget quite a bit. We can lower the debt. We don't need to raise the debt ceiling anymore. We'll have the money to pay the interest to the bank, which we should get rid of, but neither here nor there, not now. We can't do that. why don't we, since the border's failed anyway, it's too long, let's reduce it down, and why don't we move the border to Panama, the Panama Canal? And then that'll shorten it down, and it'll take in all the people that want to move into the United States. We'll have all that, we'll just take that place over, and we'll have a bunch of tax people there, people to get taxed, because that's what they want. They want to extort from everybody. And, I mean, what's the point? If the border's failed, we might as well just go ahead and embrace it. And then we can also, as I've said before, which I thought was really interesting thought to do, because of we're everywhere in the world, the United States causing trouble, we can, and there's another country that essentially we have a dual citizenship over representation in this country causing the same troubles everywhere. Well, why don't we move on over in and grab Israel up and bring them back over to Baja California? That I've talked about this before. That'll give them like twice or three times the land mass that they already have. It'll isolate them in a peninsula, which they want to be isolated anyway. It'll keep them away from people. And when we do that, we can take away their nuclear weapons. So we can denuclearize Israel. We can get rid of the wound sitting in the Middle East. And we can repatriate those billions and billions that are going over there back to the United States. So we can then end that racial apartheid over there that are stealing land and committing war crimes or resource theft and land theft. And we can really end the Middle East warfaring that goes on. And I was just, maybe that repatriating those billions and billions would be enough for the bankers to get off our back for a while. And it would kind of solve a lot of problems. It certainly would make the border a lot, we can put a fence down there easy, couldn't we? As California's answers to these debts is a surprise to a lot of people. And I've been talking about this for a long time, and I said, watch out about these monies and how these governments do these so-called benefits and what you're on tap for. It was started to come early on in the Kobe swindle. People started to pay attention. Some people did. And they realized that these monies coming from the federal government were actually loans. They weren't grants. The hospital started picking up on it sooner than most of the people. And I got this information through as well, combining it together. We have two sources now from the employees that were internal to that as we were helping them. I was helping with my colleague trying to help people and their employment problems in the hospitals. It came started to come back really quickly that within the government, they started to realize these were loans. Well, what does California do? What do they do? What does governments do? And this guy that's in California is looking to be a president or promoting that at some point he might be the president of the United States or run for the office when it's time. And this is that thing. This is the same deal. This is all contrivance and harm that set people up for a takedown. California defaults on $18.6 billion, with a B, bravo, $18.6 billion in debt, saddling employers with the expense. Recent decisions not to pay back the $20 billion borrowed from the federal government to cover unemployment benefits during the pandemic will fall on the shoulders of employers. It doesn't seem like a lot, and it's not enough to raise the roof of the state at a 0.3% increase on your unemployment tax on your payment. But that's how they do it. The government just defaults and says, we're going to put it on the producer. We're going to put it on the small business. We're going to put it on the big business. We're going to do this as a deception. And I was calling this out the whole time. And that's why I was saying people don't understand the extent of what goes on to take down, how they're moving through to take down their country. California, I don't know how they continue to exist in some regard. People just, there's so many people that just can't move, I suppose. But now it was a loan given to the government by the federal government. And I told you, those were also subject to the federal rules. So Gavin Newsom is going to bail out on the state's obligation and put it on the small business people and the big business people. And this is going to be your future, because all that money has to then be picked up. And the people end up having to pay it. And you don't see it because it's only like 0.3%. And it's hidden inside all this inflation. So I guess enough there. The point being, the government, federal government, offered loans, not grants, and they were attached to things, and they were going to be called due, and California government's just going to put it onto the people, the business people, which really are the taxpayer in that regard with the way our system's set up. And that ultimately goes to the consumer, if you will. because all the prices start to go up. This is the hidden theft that goes on. So California just defaults. So what? There's no big deal. Just default. Put it on the backs of something. You know, this is the thing that's interesting about the no question of debt. Now, I don't know how they got to do that in the 14th Amendment. You don't question the debt, but the full faith and credit of the United States, it must be pretty big. It must be a big purse. And so what difference does it make? As I said, when they went to fraud in 2008, who cares? Monetize fraud. Your GDP, your federal government GDP is based on your fraud, based on your monetization principles. It's the amount of money you owe. If you don't understand this inverted cesspool that we actually live in all the time. And you're living on the benefit of that, those of you that are paying attention. And that is the benefit that they keep you subjected to. So what is one of the options, as I've been talking, and this is happening so quickly. I'm kind of amazed how quickly, although it's not quick. See, it's like overnight success type stuff. Russia and China are brewing up a challenge to dollar dominance by creating a new reserve currency. Now, you're going to read through this, and it's just nothing more than I've talked to you about before. Let's read the headlines here, and I'll just give a summary and then move on. Because, again, this is all going to come to home to roost. There's going to be problems as we move, as these alternatives in the world move, these nations move to alternatives, it brings more dollars home. And then they really do have an inflation problem. They go to hyperinflation. And then the governments are defaulting here and there because they didn't realize what's going on. Your prices to do things are going up. And there's not much you're going to do unless you stop enjoying the services that they offer, or products, essentially. Your life, as I said, they're going to force you into austerity. Russia and China are developing a new reserve currency with other BRICS countries, President Vladimir Putin said. The basket currency would rival U.S.-dominated IMF alternative and let Russia widen its influence. The dollar's dominance is already eroding central bank diversifying into Chinese yuan and smaller currencies. And what you're going to read in this story, and you really should, is nothing more than this is the BRICS basket of currency SDR, special drawing rights, that are coming on now. They're coming online. So quick they've done this. Even overnight success, though. I've been talking about it for a decade or so on the way this was working. And this is, again, it's almost as you see this now, you can see this is a plan for the takedown. And they're going to, it's a so-called diversify, but this is the way also you take an alternative currency and you start to move out from underneath an oppressor. And they're doing it. But you have to look very carefully. They're also doing it by backing it up with gold. This basket of currency has in it not just all the currencies of nations, but a gold under bottom a bit. Supposed to legitimize all this stuff. But the BRICS nation plan to create a new international reserve currency is now happening. And that is going to be a majority of the population of the world if they work this out. And there is some things they have to work out. When you have trade imbalances, whatever that currency is starts to pile up on the side of the country that doesn't produce as much. And that can be a problem. That's what the handling of the debt is about. That's why the basket of currency, you just reach in and you pull out what you need to transfer that around. It's cooking the books in a way, but it's more agreeable, if you will. That's, again, all you got to do is agree to the medium, and that's good enough. If it's not money, it's as money, and that's good enough. Fraud become as money. It's good enough, apparently. So, but all this is important. Going global, I want you to don't forget that this also goes into the international crypto type stuff, where we heard last week that Russia said it's a necessary evil, but again, it's regulated. They're doing to make interoperability and payments easy, quick, cheap, fast payments. They're going to digital. And so let's hold that in, because I want to bring this up, as I've been talking in the past again, to show you what's happening coming in the future. That SDR is nothing for the people. It's just for the nations. And understand that as well. There's a dual system, a two-tiered system coming in as well on top of this between the locals in the nation and the nations between themselves, what they would consider the sovereigns. What's for the people is going to be tied into that in a different way, as I've been talking. And here we have what caught my eye. I wasn't going to talk too much more. I talked about Musk, Elon Musk and Twitter last week, and it was some weeks before. Bringing in this concept of what his everything app, which is an all thing, if you will, and I think it was TruStream Media. I don't have their link. They did a an interesting video on the coronation of the crown, the king, that just happened in England. And they brought up the ancient all thing. And I want to know what the distinction between an everything and an all thing is. And I'm going to suggest to you, this is it. This is what they do. Not just Elon Musk, but this is what they funnel and focus everything down into another authority. And so this is the thing I've been watching, because this is the global authority that is a governance authority, not a government authority. And I said third-party apps are going to be a problem for us in the future. And here we start to see, and you got to start listening very carefully to this, as I've been looking at what he says. I like what Elon Musk does. I like the engineering. I like the things, the fantastic, you know, we're finally getting to 1930s rocket ships, that finned rocket ships that land on their tail. How cool is that? We're finally to the 1930s. We're also doing so much interesting things in technology. I really appreciate all that. Electric cars was a fascination and a project for myself early on, but the battery technology wasn't so good. And now they've come up with just brilliant material science and better coming. So all this is pretty neat stuff. However, I don't trust Elon Musk. I don't trust him because of what he says, what he does. And we're going to find someone else that's in the news. Everyone's rallying around him, so-called conservatives. They've learned how to figure out how to get at you. It's perception management again. And you hang on to what you think is important, and you forget that it's being presented. There's a demon behind the show, and you don't recognize that. You're looking at the shiny stuff up front. But this is one of those types of shiny things, which is a diversion to try and make it look like someone looks better than they are. And then I'll show you how this works out pretty quickly, and we'll see. Cannot be trusted. Now, we want, again, international currencies, they have their own, their international, like, a digital debit currency, themselves, the digital, the international nations. And then we'll have ours. And we'll be subject to these banks. And these banks, it's a relationship change. It's not money. We had a little quickly discussion in Twitter. It's not money. It's as money. It functions as money. You have as law. You don't have law. Everything functions as something else. That's why the money on your it's a Federal Reserve note. It's a Federal Reserve debt, Federal Reserve promissory obligation. You don't have money. So, but everyone chose to use it. So that's why the part of the control. They're going to shift that over to digital. It's not that much of a jump, but they need to get to everybody. And interestingly, you see lots of things coming on now about it. Cannot be trusted, Musk says, and slams WhatsApp over claims it's spying on users. Now, it may be, it probably is, that all these companies are spying on users. Like I said, I could go through bunches and bunches of internet information content tabs I never get to on how scurrilous the whole thing is. I've been warning against it the whole time. And it's gone is not a joke, folks. It's just stuff can come in and take your life right out with this stuff. And if there wasn't somebody that could actually turn you off. Well, this is one of these things. Elon Musk is now pointing out someone else that is can't be trusted. The internet, previously dubbed as the global village by media theorists, is seemingly becoming a sort of digital panopticon, with Western governments and corporate behemoths closely watching users. U.S. tech tycoon Elon Musk laced into WhatsApp, saying it cannot be trusted in the wake of the allegations that Zuckerberg's controlled app spies on users using a mic. Now, Musk came in and bought and purchased Twitter for $44 billion, quite the sum. I've likened it to Microsoft buying up Skype, and they get the back end of all that, and they get control. And I said, this is, and what Musk had represented before, I didn't like whatsoever. That's why I don't trust him, although I like what he does. It's pretty cool, pretty neat stuff. But he's pointing out that WhatsApp's no good, and that impliedly says that what he has to offer is better. And I'm going to suggest it's just a different global digital panopticon. And so this is starting to be proved out. As I've suggested to you, be careful. The everything that X Corporation now, it's not Twitter, it's X Corporation that Elon Musk just folded Twitter into, is moving the future they want. And the all thing, if you move into the sustainable development, and actually you can connect that to the crown. And again, Truth Tree Media did a pretty good, I think 6 months ago, look back a ways, pulling the symbology together. But there were some other things that I noticed in there that weren't talked about that seemed to be Elon Musk's product here. And look very carefully, it is his product. Be very careful not to ever think that you have anything to do with this. But just now breaking news, Elon Musk has determined a new CEO. And these links I have are in anticipation of that. Well, now he said it is a fact. So let's take my links as one day short, but it was confirmed. Musk reportedly mulls NBC Universal's Linda Yaccarino as new boss for Twitter. This ends up being the truth. Elon Musk does declare it. On Thursday, U.S. billionaire Elon Musk said that he hired a new chief executive for X Twitter, for X forward slash Twitter. As you see, he's bringing it together now, who will take over the role in 6 weeks. Linda Yaccarino is NBC's head of advertising. She's also an influencer, and she's an influence gatherer. She's pulls people together to influence on the corporate side. She's an influence peddler. She's also, it turns out, a member of the World Economic Forum, the WEF. She is an executive chair for that group. She has been involved with the White House. I have a couple of links we can read about her. What was interesting to me as well, she's also from Penn State University, and apparently Elon Musk is partial to people from Penn State. He went there, apparently. In fact, the next he's going to tap for the Tesla company will be his second fiddle there, who's also from Penn State University, because they have a certain mindset. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that mindset is this future they want. These are the people, the ambassadors, the movers and shakers within what we can see would be Klaus Schwab. And he's chosen this. What I found interesting on an interview I saw with him, with her, she invited him, again, influence peddling, bring it together. And Elon Musk was able to sit in that interview and argue for free speech while he's talking to someone who continues to press him for how he can subvert that. And he's denying that he would. And yet, here months later, she's his CEO. It is not a good sign from many, many different directions. I guess we can say we'll see, but I think the writing's on the wall for this. I predicted this would be going in this direction. How much clearer a sign do I want that I can't trust this? I know lots of people won't, but I'm saying this is a very deep incursion against people, and I watched the internet change thinking that Elon Musk was bringing on something that all of a sudden you have free speech. I've been watching it as nothing but a lie. Again, why do you have to get registered to participate in the town square? Understand this town square is corporate owned and it's going to be corporate influenced. And then he wants to do the everything, X, Twitter, everything, which is fintech. It's financial tech. And she's into entertainment. Understand that as well. So I look at this internet anymore like it's a big casino, and that's what they play to. And this is just kind of, it seems to me to be right online. I'm not surprised at all. I don't know what to say more about that. I see lots of people saying Twitter's done. Twitter has been done. I don't know why we keep floundering around on this. I post there just to try and get people to notice, but mostly they don't. That also tells me a lot. People who think they're critical thinkers who will not advance or communicate with me when I send in to either challenge me or agree in a substantive way to contribute more is a problem, a real problem. We're all looking to, I guess, in our own little echo chamber. And if it doesn't quite go what we're saying, we won't respond to it. And we won't promote that stuff. And that's another style of shadow banning. It's a peer denial, if it's a peer at all. I don't know that people are peers. I think they think they are, but they're not. They put words out there and they don't understand really what they're really doing. Who is Lucinda Yaccarino, the woman tipped to be Twitter's CEO? Again, I picked these up just before he announced that it was who she was. This is the one where this is the tab that tells us that she was led to launch of one platform. And I want to be consistent with these terms. Remember, one health, one anything is this global governance situation. Ms. Yaccarino, she's married and has two kids, and at any rate, don't know more about it. It also led the launch of one platform, a unified trading system, as well as a NBC Unified, a first-party identity data platform to help streamline advertising marketplace. She also served on the 2021-2022 chair of the U.S. Advertising Council, when she teamed up with the White House, government agencies, and private companies to create a COVID-19 vaccination campaign featuring Pope Francis. Do I need to say a whole lot more of how integrated this global mover and shaker is? I hope not. That really tells us a ton right there. And to the extent I've been talking all these years about this, Ms. Iacarino is also the chairwoman of the World Economic Forum's Task Force on the Future of Work. The Future of Work is this title. And is also a member of the West Media Entertainment and Culture Industry Governors Steering Committee. Now, how she was picked amongst the plenty of people in the world that likely could have been running Twitter, I don't know. But I do know. And I think I predicted it. Not that the prediction is important. What is, you need to look in, everyone needs to be able to look and see this is not a surprise and understand we have to position ourselves in better places than what is being set up for us. We need to get out of this entertainment system that keeps us enthralled and keeps us thinking that we're using a computer, AI, if you will, these algorithms to keep us engaged in order to, well, they just get our favor over time. And some of this internet I don't see. I have it blocked out fairly well. My systems don't function normally with a lot of these apps very well on a desktop anyway. And so I'm missing a lot of even the analysis of what's being fed to most people. I can't even imagine the programming that's going on. You can see something not even be agreeable to it and it'll go in your eye and go into your mind. Is how subtle this thing is. It's like I look at one of my feeds and it says, what's new? I've told Twitter I'm not into sports. Oh yeah, there's some stuff that's kind of interesting time to time, but I'm not into sport. Do you think that they don't put that up? No, they throw that up there because it's entertainment. All this stuff for entertainment. I have no desire to talk about actors. They show up in my feed all the time. I've told them not to. They replace that with what they want. And so this is proving to me, it proved to me a long time ago, notwithstanding all my limitation, I can't go to follow anybody. They won't let me. They told me they won't let me. Years ago, I stopped. They give me only certain things. I can't see certain feeds. I have to see even my followers. I end up having to sometimes go to their feed just to see something. I haven't seen somebody for a while. So it's not something for us. It's not a tool. Then we see this. Of all the people in the world he could choose, and I'm spending way too much time on this, I'm going to move on. But the point is that this is our future. If we select to and keep engaged with it more than maybe just dropping stuff in and trying to show people certain things, which I don't know I don't know if it's absorbed by people. But she's also involved with this communication and this advertising. And I want to direct you to something new that I just found through another link. And I think this might have been through a Telegram, which doesn't work very well for me either. I don't get on the app, so I don't have the inside track because I don't want to get tracked. I just want to see some information. And one of these, to report of the censorship industrial complex, the top 50 organizations to know. The citizen starter kit to understand the new global information cartel. And this is going to, again, a fantastic amount of work put into this to show what's going on. Lengthy article, 50 different organizations discussed. So you can see the interactions. You can see what's been going on against people relative to their interactions in various places. And I think it's important. It's like intelligence for us, if you will, the citizen, those of us that are attempting to understand what we're up against to try and avoid it, actually, and then still make it through. Part of me is still optimistic. I don't know why, but I don't see much reflection of it. Every once in a while, I see, you know, responses back and forth into some Twitter sometimes or even an email. Okay, I said, we're still there. It's still there. It's just not a lot. Maybe it doesn't have to be a lot. That's what I'm holding out for, but. This is very comprehensive to understand what they're doing. This is through Matt Taibbi, I think, and the information they found. And he broke away from Twitter, and now he's doing his own, again, doing like journalism. And I don't know about the guy. He says he's a Democrat and this and that. I don't know. But I'm just going to say this information was pretty comprehensive, almost overwhelming. And I guess so I say you start learning more. It's just so overwhelming. That's why I've said find enough on something that you're passionate about to press that forward. And then know this kind of stuff. What's the censorship system? Who's involved? And you can start utilizing that in your mind, your mental, your organic intelligence and intuition starts to kick in to start to helpfully move things through to where you can team up with people, hopefully, because I think it's going to take that. I don't know that there's many people that can work on their own. There's an influence you can be. And I think I'm hopefully going to get to that. But this would require you taking steps to, let's say, be a candidate and use this political cycle to be a platform, as I've talked before. Use your local official candidacies for platforms to talk about issues that you are passionate about. In fact, I'm going to bring, hopefully get to the John Rappaport speaks to this. He now brings up, and I'll just telegraph that ahead of time without getting there quick. Find a single subject matter that you're passionate about and tell people that in great, great detail, graphic, horrific detail. That becomes a different type of entertainment, doesn't it? But that's, you're spreading one message. You're not trying to cover like I do behind which Ed, knowing there's so much out there that people are getting run down by. I just touch this stuff. So if you can hear me talk to the subject matter and I can give you some insight, it gives you a better direction on how you're going to handle that thing that came against you. Because there's just so much that can come against anyone. And I've not been able to resolve how to do that, and it's too overwhelming to handle everybody's or give advice singularly on everybody's problem. Just because of all the different subject matters and the corruptions that are involved. But until we get a basis of people, you know, I see lots of, again, a lot of people want to, oh, let's go to Second Amendment. Yeah, I guess that's there, but I think we've gotten the answer the first time with the More Perfect Union, and we're here now from it. May not be the actual answer. It may be our final defensive position, and we come what may, but I'm not so sure I want to watch people run into the fire again and again, we're not prepared. I can call them conservatives or liberals that I see, critical thinkers, the investigators that are bringing information on and on and on and endlessly and an ad nauseum, don't get it. For as arrogant as that might sound, they're not getting it. And so they're there. They got a capacity. They're not using it in the right direction. But moving back into, this is about perception management. This is about ultimately economy, ultimately about control and behavioral control. We're not in Twitter. We're not away from that social thing, the town hall. Musk knows what he's doing, I guess is the point. I don't want to say that because I don't trust him, he doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Exactly what he's doing. I can't stress that enough. And he has a way now, he's got someone in the interview I saw, he can say, oh, I'm for free speech, while she's just showing him all, explaining to him all the ways they're going to subvert it. And he's saying, well, no, I don't agree with that. Well, he doesn't have to agree with that part. He can promote that he's saying it's free speech, but you look, it's not actually free speech. You can't know the backside of his product, his app. Now, he's now referring it only as an app now. It's just another app. All that you think you see in Twitter. It's just a scrolling feed. But on the backside, they're doing all these things, and now they've got an entertainment globalist here to promote it and move it forward to where they want to go. Where they want to go is financial tech. No, I brought this up before, but I don't know the money value, but here it is. The news story comes and let me know. You want to know how much involved, how much money can be started? This is just the beginning, though, folks. Understand what I said last week, I think it was, $44 billion he bought Twitter for, Musk did. This is so much more valuable once the new future kicks in. You're going to be tied through it. Look, he's got people going in to monetize their stuff. Do you don't think that he's got the back end of that? He's got your bank accounts? He's got you tied into the IRS? Oh, well, we got to pay our taxes. Well, you do and you don't. Which ones do you talk about? Are you a taxpayer or are you a taxpayer? Those of you who've done the reading, you know that I'm making a distinction. You know where the space and the word is. And you know there are two different statuses. And then are you a taxpayer at all? That's an interesting thing people don't even think about. I don't see anybody reflecting any of that stuff. But this is the backside of this thing. It's all government. It's all corporate complicity with government for profit. That's what they're... Musk is a corporate owner. He's not... It's his product, his company, his property. He's going to make a profit. He didn't hire this woman to come in and run him down. No, they're going to promote the way he has been told he would allow it when he brought her in. He's denied that something's going to happen relative to shadow banning, but we can use that. That's a euphemism for all kinds of obstruction. And maybe nobody wants to listen behind the woodshed. I've been around for 10 years or so on Twitter. I've only got about 360 followers. You would think by accident I'd have more than that. You would think by accident I'd have more people than one or two responding to the posts I put out. In particular, where I know they're the truth and can be tracked down, which is maybe the problem. No one tracks it down. They're looking for the next echo chamber response so they can feel good about things. Like their goal, the man they want, the woman they want is proper. But this is about economy. Here's what starts. This is a start of the beginning of what goes on. People put nearly $1 billion in Apple savings accounts in the first 4 days. Astonishing amount of money here. A Monday report from Forbes based on anonymous internal sources claims user deposits closed at $1 billion just 4 days after Apple introduced its new Goldman Sachs-backed Apple Card savings account. Do I need to say more? Do I need to say more about this whole condition? Would we hear about the monopolization to Goldman Sachs? These people are already integrated. There's $1 billion worth of money that people put in. They're tied into the FDIC on top of it. You don't think the government's now involved? And people are willing to do it to the tune of $1 billion already. This is what fintech is, and this is what the Everything app is, what Elon Musk is pushing for. And the way you do that is you can perception management people into agree. So be very careful on what we're watching now as we move this thing, which he hires a WEF advocate, the future they want, and we know it's going to economic control and behavioral control. She's in that field. I don't know how you come away with not thinking that's where this is all going. Elon Musk is going there. He knows to go there. I know he knows to go there. It's that obvious if someone else hasn't seen that. This is not a question, and I'm not in any judgment. This is a factual observation that's coming to fruition very quickly. It's not, that's astonishing. And on this thing about what I found interesting about the discussion here, in these Apple accounts, Apple a day, I suppose, these are bank accounts, like regular FDIC insured. That's why you can't have a larger than you need. But Apple now is a third party between you and the bank, and you and J.P. Morgan, and may J.P. Morgan between you and the Fed. You see all these people in the middle. They all have their privacy agreements, which are not, and all their legitimate interests that come in, like the government. And what I find interesting, a little statement here, the users and deposit numbers could be because the users' daily cash rewards are now automatically applied to their savings account rather than their Apple Cash prepaid cards. Well, these Apple daily cash rewards can also be made into demerits in the future. Once, again, down the road, it ain't going to happen next week. This is not happening next week. The demerits relative to your purchase that didn't fulfill Apple's obligation to its ESGs, its sustainability meeting goal setting, is what you're looking at. This is no different than going to the Fed court. It's just translated 3 removed. It's still digital control. They still hand you, apparently hand you a debit card, but they're weaning people off of that as well. They move it into automatic rewards, they call it. Now, when you get into a mindset where the reward was to protect climate change, now you're going to see when you stop doing it compared to what they think, you're not going to get those rewards. Again, influence peddling to you. Cash rewards turns into detriment. It turns into penalties, sanction, and not the good one. J.P. Morgan Chase is warned to back off political ideological censorship. Very interesting story here. A group of 19 Republican attorney generals spearheaded by Kentucky's Daniel Cameron had recently issued a warning to J.P. Morgan Chase and Company. The bank has been accused of engaging in discrimination against customers based on their political and religious affiliations. I want you to keep very carefully attention to this religious and political affiliation problem. This is your behavioral control. This is part of that sneaking in already. And then it's also in religious affiliations where you think that the state attorney generals are protecting your right to religion. It ends up not being that way as I get to the point here. In their letter, the attorney generals contend that Chase has repeatedly targeted certain customers due to their religious or political views, despite its public declarations of inclusivity and openness. They argue that this inclusivity has not been consistently extended to all customers. And if you've been listening to me any time, you should understand when the government is enforcing inclusivity, they're enforcing the very political ideology that they're claiming, that they're blaming J.P. Morgan for putting it in. The inclusivity that's being talked about here is your inclusivity and you're being embraced into these sustainable development goals. That's what inclusivity is. It's the social part. And so the Republican attorney generals are doing, you think, oh, they're conservative. No, these people are all promoting sustainable development goals. They want everybody included. And just like Musk said, no, I'm for free speech, when you watch him look around and he's not really protecting that much. And he's the bottom line of it. He's not actually releasing any power from this new executive officer of Twitter. He's keeping a little bit of a control for that as well. He's not running away too far. Inclusivity here, promoted by Republicans, is a problem. If you listen to me any time, you intuitively should know that. If you haven't listened to me, you maybe need to listen to me a little bit more and listen to how this thing works out, how we're being told stuff right in our face, and it's a violation to us. They're actually advancing under an attack against J.P. Morgan, like they're showing some kind of moral authority here to stop a harm that says that J.P. Morgan has to put into their system everybody. Everybody will be absorbed. And they do it under the stalking horse of political or religious persecution through obstruction. Anyway, my mind just starts to get wild because all the things they use this technique to take people out with in their minds. It's what I watch on Twitter now. It's just amazing. Really intelligent people, folks, we're all just being manipulated terribly, and we don't recognize it generally. So this inclusivity is an ESG weapon. It's a environment, social, governance imposition. They want to bring everybody in. It's a weapon for the attorney general advocating for the behavioral control that they need. It's just simply a deceptive promotion of UN sustainability goals, which if you notice, there's a lot of promotion out of this ring with the different colored segments on it. You're seeing it kind of everywhere. I think if you look around, you see pictures of this ring with like rainbow. We think that's trans. Well, if you look, they're all different colors. It's hard to see sometimes, but those are like different colors that equate to this one of 17 different United Nations sustainability goals. And if you go look at their chart, you'll see 17 different goals and they have different colors. And each one of those on that ring, the colors pertains to a different objective. And so they're telling you what's coming. And it's all the high, like I think the new King Charles in all his blasphemous religious presentation, is engaged in that clearly. So anyway, it's interesting to watch this thing just roll out and the symbology as well coming to tell us, if we were just to pay attention, that I want to move now back to last week. A bunch of things I didn't get to on the roll through the digital currency. You'll be on that blockchain. You're going to be tied in. You'll be verified. All you folks on Twitter that have a blue check, did you miss a trick here? I rethink what's going on there. Did you miss a trick? Did you miss how this is working? I want to go back. Do you have a question I was going to move on to? Was can you buy or sell without the mark? An idea that we've been told would be coming in the future, particularly through the 70s, a lot of promotion about this mark of the beast. And I got the mark on the beast, protonmail.com, for those of you that want to communicate. The point about us being active in encountering this whole thing coming through upon us, however any religious connotation, this is the physicality of our life now. If you haven't noticed, this is not some belief in some faith. This is actually coming, but it does have a belief, a prediction through a revelation that we're told. And so I wanted to move in through that because what's happening in the world is oil. Remember that J.P. Morgan is going against political views and religious views. And so this is where I was going last week after showing J.P. Morgan's being, everything's monopolizing to four of the great They're big financial houses now. They used to be investment houses, and the United States government advanced that to bring us down, and I predicted that part as well. I mean, you don't have to look far to see how it doesn't work, how where they're moving us doesn't work. It's always more oppression, and the people are silent to that. Way I say the crickets. You can be right in part about your observation that something's wrong, but to sit back after you see that and not do something is not going to help, and it's what they rely on, that we don't do anything proper. They want us to do all kinds of stuff, but no, they certainly don't want us to do the proper thing. So, could you buy and sell without all this? Well, it's going to be more difficult. Clearly you can see, the way they've been focusing everything to going online and having everything delivered at your house through some carrier. Oh, and then they get you the casinos of the social media casinos that they have worked up. You get stuck with those. Well, why not? I'll just order that sweater or that, maybe a bag of food right here through Twitter. I'll use my Twitter account. Look at how simple and convenient. I like the idea, folks. So neat. But look at what you're doing. What the chains and shackles you're putting on yourself to be able to do that as well first. And then your lack of actual interaction with the real world. Your body is translated into those electrons as well. Your being is translated into nothingness, and you think it's doing something in the world is another part of the deception. You get lost in the medium that you think you're participating in, but that's not you. It's you, but it's not you physically. It's not doing anything. And so it has no effect in the world. You have an effect in mind, but if everyone's sitting at their desk and their computer eating the Doritos that just showed up in the Bud Light or not, because you support one side or the other of that, I don't know, folks. It's not we're not moving anywhere. And your protest of Bud Light was interesting to me. You are having an effect, and this is the thing about voting with your monetary feet. In the future, you won't be able to do that because you don't have control. Even as money, you don't have control because it's not an obligation about money anymore, ever. It hasn't been, but now it's even worse. It's now an obligation. If someone says that Bud Light is who you're going to buy from, that may be the only thing you see on your computer screen. And there you go. People don't believe that, but that's what happens. So if you don't have this mark of the beast, this thing, these digital tokens, can you buy or sell? Is an attack on some religion somewhere. And this, again, becomes a component of what's going on now in the news across the world. And this led on to another thought, because of these things that, something I was told coming and something I could read was there, and then seeing it come from the words into fruition, the words aren't quite exact, but they're close enough. You can kind of see this. Sometimes that's a difficulty. But I wanted to touch on all this religious persecution going on, like J.P. Morgan was caught under the stalking horse of religious persecution through banning or whatever, or the political banning. Understand, climate change is a tool of a weapon of social of sustainability, which is a political statement. Climate change is the political climate changing, transforming, they say. And you look at the Twitter, you see Elon Musk bringing the woman in to be the CEO of Twitter, and he says she's going to transform things here. He uses all the language. It's fascinating to watch. Once you see, you have the eyes to see. It's just, look at that. It's not even a question. I just have to chuckle a little bit. I have to ask the question, do they see this? No, they know WEF, WEF bad. And it might be, and it probably is. What I'm saying, that's what they focus, like orange man bad, and they look at the orange hair. Look underneath, they're predicting things. Do people see that? It's not a question. It's going on. Don't even have to question, is this good or Twitter's done? Twitter's never been better than done. And we're still here a decade later, even so, behind what you said, just posting the little bits that get 20, 30 views at most, one or two comments. Is that our town square? Wow, pretty interesting. But the church is going on now, the religious and political persecution. And I want to say this together because I don't see it as different. When you understand the political entities involved in the backside, when you heard in the Twitter CEO announcement, she works with Pope Francis. That's where I want you to understand we're moving through this line of observation. These are not separate in my mind. These are all the persecutions that go on, and they're essentially planned. And we may have a little glimpse of that at the very end of this. We're going to start here in India and move back to India later as I move through this. Quite a bit to go through. Like churches and homes attacked and set ablaze in India violence. Now, there's been a tension. The Hindu religion and the Christian religion there has been a tension, but they've kept it in peace. It's blown up. No different than Pakistan politically blowing up the fires. You want to talk about how you start taking down a country and really get to start getting serious? Even beyond France, go look at what they're doing in Pakistan over this Imran Khan thing. And then Imran Khan was arrested wrongly. The Supreme Court says that you're not supposed to do it that way. And one of the reasons is like for Imran Khan going, the old prime minister who was arrested and politically attacked, and all his followers and his people that were in his cabinet are being attacked by the current government. He was going to court to answer to the Supreme Court, and they arrested him there. Well, there's a provision in law, you're free to go to and from court. They violated that basic principle. The Supreme Court didn't really comment on the political nature of it. They said, no, everyone has a right to get to the court. When we call somebody to court, they have to be free to know they can get here and go. Come and go. And so I understand that as well. Seen some of this happen in the States, although not as big a deal. This is a big deal in Pakistan. But moving back into India, where this I was going to talk a couple weeks ago on this persecution going on, and at a time when, but potentially at a time when we were told it was going to start happening anyway, and it's flaring up. Churches and homes attacked and set ablaze. Police responded to several rounds of tear gas and rubber bullets. The army, paramilitary forces, and police have come into a large to patrol affected areas. There have been tensions between different groups in the area for decades relative to the Hindu belief, Christian tribal people, and the Hindu non-tribal groups of people. They've now come into conflict, and the Hindu non-tribal group is flat just destroying everything that's Christian. So my mind starts to settle in a bad spot here, because you would think that peaceful religions would stay peaceful at all costs, and they're not, and this one's not. The tribal people are getting beat up pretty good and taken down, and their churches are just destroyed. Their houses are being burnt. Their children are dying. People are dying. It's not just children. And you would think, again, we would maintain peace. Well, they can't. And this is maybe the war of the world, if you will, forever. Cain and versus Abel, I don't care your belief system. It just seems to be that when that happened, it was, we're done. We're done. We have no way ourselves to solve this problem. And again, we'd have to be on our best behavior, and we tend to want to not be. And so also in this vein of it blowing up in India, one religious group against another, we also have a political group here in Israel attacking Christians in Jerusalem being on the rise. I reported on this. I wanted to bring this back. This is an ongoing thing around the world as supposed peaceful religions are attacking each other. I've never understood that, so I don't know what more to say. Where we had this story from Israel itself. They claim to be a religious state, but we see that they're political, Zionism. They're not Jewish or Judea, if I can get it refined even further. All part of Palestine there, not the Zionists, but the so-called Jews, the people who have a faith relative to the Torah, is it? I think it is. But a bill proposed by Israel's Jewish supremacist government would punish Christians with jail for proselytizing. If that wasn't bad enough, the proposed definition of proselytizing includes something as simple as talking about Christianity with a Jew. Pray for the persecuted Christians in Palestine. I thought this is a very interesting statement relative to, it was off Telegram. It made some interesting points here, in Palestine being one, and Christians there, and there's all kinds of religions in Palestine. The Judaic, which was one son of Israel, not Abraham, there was a grandson, if you will, was Judea, not Jews, necessarily, and so they're not the whole and the complete part, and they would be restricted to the state given to the son. I think that was a son. Anyway, so there's a whole problem here that Israel is now attacking Christians. No different than they attacked the Muslims. And they've invaded their mosque. Big problems here. There shouldn't be, we should be able to sit down and work it out, but I'm trying to show us as people, when we get into groups, we're not necessarily able to either defend ourselves from an attacker or keep ourselves from attacking, I guess. And this is another thing about the division in the United States. If you divide people into groups, they tend to turn into this. And I'm not so sure that's an answer. But anyway, moving on from this into this idea and the distinction between a religion and a politics, where J.P. Morgan's attacking both politics and religion. And this is the future, because they're displacing your politics and your religion, or your basis of politics and your religion, or if not, even nothing, with theirs, which is essentially behavioral control, economic controls, and their governance over you. One of the statements here, which is what kind of spoke to me relative to the peace that I would hope that we would be as people. When I was growing up, you kind of made love, not war type stuff. And I don't mean in the trite sense. You really worked hard not to fight with people and tried to work things out to a point. You always have a point. You can't just let, like we see a cancel culture, screaming Karens get away with their nonsense either. And there becomes, where do you set your gauge? Where's your weight and measure? We're told so important in the world is weight and measure. And the United States Constitution even mentions it. You have to have the weight and the measure. And so where do you go with that? You just can't be making this stuff up, I guess. You might have to at some point, but it's actually based, even in the Constitution, you see, when they went to they had to go to the Declaration of Independence. They had to refer to a superior, if you will, a supreme authority. And interestingly, that's an interesting authority for both sides, the good and the bad, to go to. And then you, let's say for the bad side, you just claim the authority. I'm a vicar of that. I'm the king of that, representing the power by these man-made activities we do, like the anointing of oil with the crown and the king coronation. I saw men doing things. I didn't see God doing a thing, actually. And so this is a interesting, we can look past that, or we can give it credit that it's not really what we're supposed to be doing. And this statement kind of followed a bit of my line of thought. I hate to say it, but the truth of Jesus is exactly what the world needs. Ethics, morals, integrity, truth, knowledge, brotherhood, harmony, justice, and adherence to God's natural law, the objective truth. All the reasons the Zionists have spent centuries murdering Christianity. So, whether or not Zionists have existed forever, there's been an evil element, and it's whether you put a name on it or not. And they're generally, for those of you that may have been offended by me saying the word, the sort of phrase, truth of Jesus, if you look at the list of things that were there, that were not holding to that list of things, however you attribute it, or to whatever you attribute those list of things that seem to be good to me, we have to hold to them. That's the first problem. We have to act to do that. We cannot leave that silent. When we don't, those things that are contrary to that rise up, whatever title and name we put on it. And so I felt that statement, however anybody might attribute it or not, whether or not you would say Allah says the same thing, or whomever, the whatever Hindu god you says that, I don't know all that. It's all gotten too complicated at that point for me. I do know these basic concepts here that I think have been lost to us, and we need to reclaim them, otherwise we won't have a way to go forward, and that's the problem. That's why I say go to the objective basis, at least the black and white written that looks like it's lawful, like, well, let's have some due process around before you declare your tyranny over me based on some stalking horse called a public health pandemic. Let's go to the objective basis there, and then we'll see where you actually have some authority, is about, I think, all we have at this point. And I say that's the secular side, or the political side, because a lot of people don't have that same belief, and you go to the religious side. And yet a lot of us, I've seen, have the spiritual sense about it, though that's so maybe that intuition. We know what's right and wrong. And yet we will ignore that a bit. We don't tend to question ourselves when we're doing, I can't say it's a wrong, but it's certainly not a priority to engage ourselves on an app, on a product someone else owns, who's now dead in the camp of what can be predicted as a deceptive defeat of anything that would be ethical, moral, integrity, have truth, knowledge, brotherhood, harmony, justice, and natural law, if you don't like the word God. Anyway, this statement was off of Follow the White Rabbit. I thought was fairly consistent with the list of things I put in my mind. Where are these qualities in us? They're there. I'm not saying that you don't have them. I'm saying that we're not insisting. And then I'm offering how to help assist that. Because we can all say, see, these words are kind of neutral. Whose ethics? Whose morals? Whose integrity? Whose truth? That's the weakness of that. And so I said a long time, okay, well, we got to find some basis that's objective, that's already there, that's already been written, and then we qualify that it's mostly right, if nothing else. We have to start there. Otherwise, you get what we have cancel culture. They just say their morality and their ethics is more important. It's more important that sustainability goals exist than your beliefs about your existence. So be careful on the subtlety here that I'm speaking to. If you are comfortable with moving it into a religious capacity, I think that's even better, because that's supposed to be untouchable until you get to the people that are in the religious groups, and then they start attacking themselves, which is another truth of sorts relative to what we are told is coming down in, if you will, the end times. You have political persecutions, and now we have the religious persecutions. Well, where the religious persecutions coming from is pretty interesting. Maybe it's not so, if you will, religious, given that word has at least two meanings. But we see the application indeed where Israel is persecuting Christians, and Israel revokes Easter travel permit for Palestinian Christians at Easter. I was supposed to discuss this then. Israel authorities have revoked travel permits for hundreds of Palestinian Christians in Gaza. You thought there was just Muslims there? No, Christians in Gaza. In a move aimed at limited access to the Holy Fire Ceremony in Jerusalem on Saturday, which is regarded the most important Easter celebration for the Eastern Orthodox Church. Eastern Orthodox. Now understand the distinction here. What's not there is the Western so-called Orthodox. The decision has angered church leaders who said it is part of Israel's ongoing effort to restrict freedoms of the Christian community. Again, an attack of the religion upon religion in an Orthodox fashion. And we have the Eastern Orthodox. Remember where we're going there, because this is what's coming up as a universal obliteration, it seems, at the same time, all happening in the same time. So we have moving into that Orthodox destruction. I'll remind us here, we have the Nazi. Think about this relative to Israel and who's supposed to be there and what they're claiming about what happened to them. That the Nazi promoting Zelensky in Ukraine, destroying the Orthodox Church there. Certainly with probably help from the West. He's a puppet too. But it's consistent with Israel destroying the Christian Eastern faith. It's almost, I can't see how it's not connected. I just want to remind us across the world this is going on. And so this thing I've been told about coming on us, and we hear the wars and the rumors of wars and all this. If anybody's read the Bible, you in Revelation, you get to hear this, you get to see it. Oh yeah, it has these different analogies. It's kind of hard to pour through, and I'm realizing that there's a lot of translational problems, which people say is that's the word. I go, okay, but I got some translational problems, really serious ones. And when you read deeply into it, you start seeing, wow, this is saying a whole lot different thing. I have different eyes to see that, I guess. And it's almost beyond, you literally have to move into a different headspace to even start to be able to understand it. But I'm reminding myself as well, as I read through this, the time of, and I don't want to get into the tribulation thing here, I just want to mention the tribulation for Christians at the so-called end time, if you will. And I wonder here, the end of history, not the end of time necessarily, the end of a history. And this is intriguing to me as well. History can change and end, and we may be there, not like everything's being destroyed. It's being changed, but not transformed the way in the future that a deceptive people would want upon you, essentially. Is this the time that all this religion, religious ideas and people are being attacked and persecuted across the board, whether that's a religious or by political organizations? It didn't escape my thought. It just kept coming back what are we looking at here as we look forward? Where is this? How bad? I mean, this means it's going to get bad, even if it doesn't go to, if we interpret the Bible in Revelation to there. The war, the rumor of wars for nuclear destruction is there. So that's another point, but I don't want to go quite to that. Just looking, when it gets to this bad, where do we go? Where do we position ourselves? What do we have to do? Because it may come home to roost, and we see lots of places. It's been building this attacks on people of faith, however their faith is. I don't even want to get through a lot of, you know, there's no discussion more. It's what you believe. And I'm hoping that we're all believing correctly at some point, that it maybe, hopefully it doesn't really matter in the end, although I'm reading that it might. But I did see this in this political attack, and going back to India and the Hindu religion attacking the non-tribals, attacking the tribal Christians, which I found interesting, the heathen, and the way it's been depicted to us. The interesting story pops up that, again, speaks to this idea that the religion is being used as a cover for a political or secular control structure. When I read this story out of India, out of Morang, and brings us right back to the CEO from Twitter who has been involved with promoting and using Pope Francis. This story here, a Jesuit team was attacked by a mob May 3rd in Morang, a town in northeastern India, state of Manipur. The team was returning after house blessings to their residence in Morang, some 45 kilometers south of the state capital of Imphal, when an angry mob stopped their vehicle. So this angry mob is the Hindu faith, if I understand, the non-tribals, and they attacked this vehicle. They were allowed to go ahead some. Some in the crowd recognized the vehicle, but not some drunken people who were ahead of the crowd and misunderstood the Jesuit team had ignored the people's demand to stop. They forced the vehicle to stop, broke its windshield, assaulted those inside, priests, seminarians, and lay teacher. This priest and the seminarians were wearing a cassock. The mob also burned the vehicle. However, some local people took the Jesuit team to their homes and protected them. Later, they took the team to the police station where they spent the night. Then two seminarians in the time were injured and given first aid in a hospital. Now, while these people, or these Hindu non-tribals, are destroying the Christian tribal, they're protecting some that were not drunk. The Hindu group protected Jesuits. And I can't tell you how many flags went off about that and all the stories I've read of the, again, this Jesuit connection and the unity. We're back to the Vatican. The unity that's made under color and cover of religion, that the Hindu, some people in the Hindu faith who would have been attacking, protected Jesuits, is an interesting distinction. However, the local people, especially the parents' body members, had supported the Jesuits. They had guarded the campus since May 2nd that night. The special protection for a Jesuit order. And that got me back over to something I've talked about before. And the main question in the Jesuit order is the military arm that is a very, talk about extremists. And I'll just read you a little bit of the thing that kind of says so. The Jesuit extreme oath of induction. The following is the Jesuit extreme oath of induction. I'll only say in part, the exciting part. Given to high-ranking Jesuits only, the oath is taken from the Book of Subterranean Rome by Carlos Diadier, translated from the French and published in New York in 1843. I've read this thing before. It's just interesting to me, even as a footnote, if you will, what people will think about to say and do to other people. But given this is the oath, the extreme oath of induction, and we don't know how high those officials were, the Jesuits that were stopped and protected. Maybe there are agents there, too, who appeared to be Hindus. They say that in this oath, that they will essentially take any form. I furthermore promise and declare, they will say, that I will, when opportunity presents, and make a wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth. and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics. Rip up the stomachs and the wombs of their women and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate forever this inexorable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so as an agent of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith and the Society of Jesus Christ. Now, this oath goes on and on, but that's always intrigued me, that little statement. Always, it's partly funny in a way, it may be in a dark, humorous way, but you can see people are willing to take an oath to do this. And I've seen other oaths that just, they're like this. They're just not as notorious. That I wanted to point out, why would it be and how, and then we see an evidence of the fact that, given this is has any strength, that there would be people that would protect the Jesuits to do their bidding and to promote the so-called Society of Jesus. And if so, if you think this is not working in the world, I wanted to point out it is. There's things working. Whether or not I want to agree with them their way or not, there's all kinds of stuff that's no good working in the world. Where tribal Christian people in India are getting killed and their houses burnt, destroyed, and their churches destroyed and burnt. The Jesuits were protected. Go back to Twitter and Elon Musk and his new CEO using the Pope Francis, who is a promoter of sustainable development goals in the one world governance and the King Charles coronation. If you look carefully, you see the support for all of that. He's going to be part of that. He is part of it. He's already ahead of it, actually. You just got to listen to what they're talking about. This is a bigger deal. This is way, way bigger. Is it the end times here, folks? Why are the Christians being notoriously named here in the news lately? You'd almost think that they'd want to be keeping this kind of stuff quiet, but it's really coming out. And yet, that's not a reason to be quiet, and that's the other point as well. You have to stand up for yourself. You can't just hide. Christian woman wins a payout after being fired for comments on the same-sex marriage transgenders in women's sports. And we get this out of London last year, right where the coronation of the king was. You really have to look at that coronation. I didn't look at it too much. Just saw, made sure that they did the same. They are ritualizing things. It's just the same. They're promoting something they're not telling most people about. It's pretty horrendous. I would have to say blasphemous in a way, if I can use that word without insulting people. What they're representing is not what they're showing there behind the scenes. A Christian woman here was a mayoral candidate in London last year. It was one of substantial damages in an unfair discrimination lawsuit she filed after her employer fired her for airing her belief that marriage should be between a man and a woman. We can read again the story. This is where the society comes out after us. The employers come out after us. And we're going to have to stand up for ourselves. At least this one woman was able to do so successfully. Again, even utilizing the secular world and even under the crown of London, of the kingdom, this prevailed. Again, we have to stand up and we have to bring forth those things that we find that are, you know, ethical, moral, truth, that kind of thing. And I say, bring it with your basis. If your basis is in law, fine. And you can find out that's the truth, that's fine. You bring it religiously, that's fine. That's a neat one because the secular world's not supposed to touch it. And the Vatican is trying to bridge that. They've been doing this since, 300 or something A.D. The corruption. As far as I can tell, and I have not found anybody that can show me different, not that I'm not looking, but there's a heinous deception going on, and again, that's all perception management as well. All this stuff is pretty interesting. So she, as a Christian woman, had to rely on a faith, an objective basis, I suppose was the Bible, to be able to say this, that a court in London agreed that she was discriminated against for those beliefs. And then I found this story, which is, again, down the track, we're going where the Twitter, everything is going, where the CEO that's doing the WEF thing and claiming not to be, you know, for free speech and all this. So free, who's free speech? Free speech for who becomes the question now. But to hear, in Kanukistan, listen, you probably already know this, listen up, it's serious. Really, this thing's rolling down serious stuff against us. Those of us that just thought our life was enough to walk around and be free and say what we want to say and do what we want to do, you know, within, you know, not harming anybody. A Canadian's liberal assault on press freedom, the plot to censor untraceable sources. During the Party National Convention, the Canadian Liberals discussed proposal online news publications whose sources cannot be traced to be censored. The proposal was titled Combating Disinformation in Canada. I want to stop there. You can read more. Now, I want to go back to that story right before and say where London just awarded a Christian mayoral candidate with the an authority that was untraceable, has an untraceable source. Well, we got the book, but you get past the book, the Bible, and there's no source. How is this going to fare? And this is the threat in Canada. You have a belief in a religious sense or a spiritual sense. You can't trace it. You're going to be excised. You're going to be taken out. And I'm not saying you will. This is where you have to fight. Because they're essentially coming after your religious beliefs in this, in part. There's a whole lot that can come underneath this untraceable source, because who's supposed to declare that? Are you going to allow the UN Sustainability's goal that only looks at Gaia as like a Hindu god to reflect on what your Christian beliefs are, or your Muslim beliefs, for that matter? This is a serious threat about the untraceability of sources. And then I'd have to wonder, what would Seymour Hersh do? And then this opens up the entire press where they relay to us that they had anonymous sources. Oh, they might be able to be said to be traceable, but if the government can't trace it, you can't say it, apparently. And now where would we be with someone like Seymour Hersh, who would always and lots of times refer to anonymous sources to protect their source under your right of the press? You have the right to acquire. That means you have the right, the power, the need to protect. So you have future right of inquiry to people that aren't afraid or not afraid to enough that they'll talk with you. This thing in Canada is super serious. The way they lay this out, untraceable sources, it seems, oh, well, you know, if you don't have a source for the information, we can cut you out. Well, they don't have the power, actually, in a free people to have the right to speak at all, the power to determine that it's untraceable. And if they do, they have the right to come after your religion in favor of the state's religion. We've got two types of those things. And then that got me to another point here. We have, U.S. can't explain what happened to Nord Stream. Now, go on this, again, this is a global view what's coming on relative to this untraceable source and the perception management and misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation, whatever all those words that the Pentagon and CIA use to try and put a question on you. Coming and going as far as the information. The U.S. can't explain what happened to the Nord Stream. Well, if I put untraceable sources on this, how is the government supposed to even be talking about that? It can't trace the source to say. And I'm kind of going a little bit of an excursion, just a bit here. I'm not. I'm right on point, but there's an excursion here. Because what is the limit? You're going to find the limit is who has the power to make the say. But the United States can't explain what happened to Nord Stream. It's no different than an untraceable source and shouldn't say. But more importantly to this, they've said they're not going to investigate. You'd think they'd want to know at least the truth, ethically, morally, even under the NATO provisions for protection of states. You'd think they want to know, but they can't explain. Well, why would we expect this headline, even I'm criticizing here RT, or Moscow? Moscow expects no new insight from Washington regarding the blast that crippled key gas pipelines, and high-ranking diplomat says. Why would they still have a further comment? The United States says it's not going to investigate. Under the new rule, if you will, if it applied to Canada and looking internationally, its comment would be untraceable source anyway. Well, so maybe that's a good thing to see, huh? Well, it's a matter of discernment, isn't it? That's not a power of the state to do. That's for us to decide. as we move along and understand to make our decisions. The U.S. can't explain what happened. Well, they just said not going to. Good. I mean, they shouldn't have a word. Why is that even news? Why would Moscow expect it? They should say there's not going to be a new insight. The United States has closed the door. That was a clue, if nothing more. What would they have to say if they're not investigating? What possibly would there be? What expectation would there be? How would they know their source? Again, now we're getting back into something else, which is evidence. Why I caution people that make claims, make sure you have the evidence, not your opinion. You got to have some document usually, now video. We can do quite a bit of evidence in that regard now in the digital age. A lot of digital things can be used as evidence. Have that. Don't just make an opinion on what you think someone said. You got to have them doing it. If you watch some of the court cases lately, look very carefully. You're watching some of that definitive nature of those rules. You're also watching abuses of it, and that's another side. But for the point of making assertion, make sure that you have the evidence. You know, before it may have been a suggestion to my mind that there would be someone in WEF be put in Twitter. How would I know? But there it is now. I don't have to. That's the evidence. How is she going to act? I don't have a clue, but I can kind of now move the future mark forward, the goalpost, and say, hey, this is where we're going. Is what she's there for Twitter. And it's in this WEF type stuff. So what is Canada saying relative to your belief in God? Those of you that believe in this, whatever your religion, it's untraceable. Are they saying you can't speak? No, you can't publish? Yeah, that's what that starts to say. And that they had the gall, if you will, the audacity to put it forward. And this ties into something else that's going on. And it's the shift of power of the press. A BC 11, again, we're still now up in Kyrgyzstan. Bill C 11, what to know about the online streaming app. This is another displacement. This is where Canada is going to order the streaming providers, and it ends up being the web, ultimately, anybody producing content, to displace what it thinks is the proper information for Kyrgyzstan's information, in part. And so they're going to have Canadian content as a definition to place foremost and promote on these streaming sites. It's no different than another style of censorship. And the law apparently just passed. Kyrgyzstan passes its duplicitous online censorship bill. And so folks in Kyrgyzstan, and the way France is running this, I just said, anybody who has links to RT and Sputnik, which is Real Liberty Media behind a woodshed, we're going to be blocked potentially. Is this kind of censorship? This is going throughout this broadcast here, telling us how this control is coming down and through. They passed what's being described here as a duplicitous online censorship bill. Any control of speech has to be duplicitous. It's certainly where the state itself places a predominance of its promotion, whether you believe that's a state religion or it's just a corporate tyrannical government, whatever. The state is now involved with interfering. And they did a legislation, which makes it much tougher for you folks anywhere, but in particular for this issue in Kyrgyzstan, to deal with it. And what I found interesting is the same government, Trudeau government, story, again, all these stories seem to come together, or they make sense to me in an order. Each week, there's these hundreds to choose from. And this came right up after the untraceable source is going to be stopped. And then you see this story where a traceable source was not brought forward in protection of people. In this particular case, a government official. And so we watch how this works. And it's going to work everywhere. It's a model that's coming. But Kyrgyzstan, you're under it right now. And this has political connotations over to China as well. And like what we see Biden in, it's an organized crime family, not necessarily a business. Understand there's the Biden-China collusion thing is not more than that. It's not a business. They were smart. Well, I don't know about smart, but that's how they set it up, so it's less able to be found. But the CSIS head tells MP Michael Chong that he and a family were targeted by China. This is an information I've set a couple links for those of you that are interested in, maybe particularly Kyrgyzstan, or those that are interested in how dynamics work inside the government. While Trudeau is telling you that they're going to, you know, we're going to protect you and secure you and from misinformation, this and that, he will not protect people once he has information, and then they have their way of evading that and making what sounds like a plausible, oh, I didn't really know, or we didn't have that, or he was told this way. Canadian Security Intelligence Service head David Vignal on Tuesday told Conservative MP Michael Chung that he and his family were targeted by a Chinese government after he sponsored a parliamentary motion condemning Beijing's conduct into Xinjiang as genocide. I'll end that. If you want to see more of this, how this works, you can read that. This is where we read the stories that Trudeau knew but didn't act on China's threat to MP's family. Where the information was traceable, even the government didn't act. And you have to understand how they play both sides against the middle on this. And they defend themselves in this. Well, it's not defensible, but they try it anyway. Again, deny, deny, deny. Avoid, evade. Look like the interview I found out. I didn't have a link for it, but between Elon Musk at the interview he was invited to by the CEO now, where he's saying free speech, free speech. She's finding every way to get him to censor himself. And he said, well, that would be this, that, and the other. And she's telling us exactly how she's going to develop the future on Twitter that you're going to be doing. And he selects her. Is this whole technique. They can speak out of one, Janna's face. They can speak out of one face and be looked plausibly correct, and then they offload the other stuff to someone that's looking the other way that you don't think is relevant. Another problem, and consistent with the attack in Canada now, this is all relative to Kyrgyzstan, that I was going to read before, have to get to it now. First reading, Public Health Agency of Canada report calls for toppling of capitalism and liberty. And you're going to see that this is related to health and climate change. Perspectives on climate change and public health in Canada. Again, the coalescing, the coagulation of the blood clot in Canada, working right now against Kyrgyzstan. It's been working. It's just they're bringing out the documents. You can start to see it. You can see how inside the people that are writing and authorship are self-deprecating as if to give them some more information, calling themselves uninvited land occupiers. This is a political statement. This is not something that I would wonder more as an investigation. Again, climate change is a political change. And they're doing it through these documents to get, at least give officials that are making decisions the authority they base on this situation, where a new team of Health Canada, a new Health Canada report suggests public health officials should be openly advocating for the toppling of capitalism, Western society, and even the very concept of liberty and individualism. In another context, they'll say they support capitalism, but when you look at it's contingent upon protecting the earth, that's the same thing as this attacking liberty and individualism. This is how you can have people that talk about promoting capitalism, but they're not. It's a conditional capitalism, and there is no capitalism on top of that because we're dealing in a debt system. Things as money, fraud, not even money. As money, but it's fraud. It should have been negated as soon as it came out the gate. Fundamental changes in our socioeconomic structures are needed to rebuild our relationships with each other and with our planet, reads the conclusion of this April 17th new report prepared by the Chief Public Health Officer, Dr. Teresa Tam. Off a little bit here, none of those folks looked at their local communicable disease law to stop COVID because they're promoting it. It's another weapon and tool to advance what you see going on relative to getting IDs and all this other thing and stick you into your green passports and all this other stuff. And only speak and behave a certain way. Untraceable sources. It's their source if you don't cite it. This is one of those sources. They're going to be right if you don't interfere. Again, we go on and discuss all this. I'd rather not have you read I'd have you read this report, see the words. It's important to see the words. They are consistent. But these people are, you know, conflating, compressing, mashing together climate change with public health. This has been the goal the entire time. It's because that's where it's going. And there's sustainability goals. This is the thing that Pope Francis kicked on. I've been talking about this for over a decade. No. Like 2015, I was all hot all over this in September. Go look back, I don't know, back then, if the files are still available. He's exposing how all this is working. We're still working on it. It's almost a decade later than that. And then this is what I wanted to bring up about these people that come under the cover. It's a stalking horse that they fabricated. It's all deception. You just wade into it even a little bit, you're tainted. And that's why it's important to pull back real quick and say, wait a minute, you got some certain things. I hear your words and I rally around the words. Your concepts sound right to me. But I'm asking us to stop looking at the sound bites, which may last for hours at a time now, when we go to political speeches. And I'm going to highlight something. I wasn't going to really get to this guy too soon yet, but so much came up. I think I'm just going to get it out of the way. And I'm going to hopefully show you the same thing that goes on in a different way. So many people, and part of me wants to believe. You know, I want to believe this is the right guy or a guy that's going to help, but it's not. And so we got to get quickly throw that down, but we got to have proof. Why isn't this guy I'm going to talk about a part of it? Because he's using the same type of language. More importantly, he's an attorney. And he's now promoted up because he's now a candidate that's coming on that I see lots of people embracing. And yet he's no different than the CEO chosen by Elon Musk. Yuckarina. Same. Climate change deniers should be jailed, says whom? RFK Jr. This was done back in 2014. Now, if we have such a short memory, then we lose this point. But more than 100,000 activists jam New York City streets for the People's Climate March, September 21st, demanding an end to climate change and the elimination of fossil fuels, the elimination of capitalism. And RFK Jr. is right there, now a candidate for president, now being also promoted for being disrespected by the mainstream media. Again, the underdog being denied, he's being propped up by people. He's there in 2014 saying the climate deniers should be jailed. Now, he backtracks. You got to listen how this works. And he says he turns it later, and there's a clarification done maybe a half a year later. Oh, I didn't mean people. I meant corporations. To me, that's the same thing. Remember, corporations are people too. What he found out is that wasn't going to fly. He better back off. And this is what these deceivers do. This is the smart process. They say something, they watch how to respond, they analyze it, then they figure out how to make it more resilient so that you'll be influenced by what they say. This guy is doing it. This guy has been an environmental attorney. He'll tell you that he has been. This is not even a question. It's shocked me, actually, how deep this guy is into this, this situation. And this story comes back from 2014. So if we didn't understand that, we don't understand today, where he's coming out sounding like RFK Jr., somebody that we should be following. And I'm going to say, listen, be careful on what he's saying. It's not just a sound bite. We have a story here relative to a senator using RICO laws to prosecute global warming skeptics. This is an ongoing thing. This was not just a side statement. This was actually an intention to seed the mind with this need to move us forward into this new future. And RFK Jr. is speaking all of that if you listen through his rhetoric that he speaks about how much he wants to do, how he wants to be neutral, how he wants to be fair to everybody. And when you look at what he's actually saying and for how long he's been saying and what he's done as an attorney, it won't amount to more than what you're watching today in the Biden regime, or the Ocasio thing, or what Hillary Clinton would do. And even what Trump did when he didn't stop the whole thing where he didn't. In other words, he brought on a weapon of the sustainable development at warp speed. So they want to say that in the title that the global warming skeptics, I want to remind you, we're not skeptics when we're witnessing fraud. We're witnesses to fraud. And so you got to have a place to put yourself that's different than they're framing you up. I'm not a global warming skeptic. I'm watching a fraud under the color of a subject matter that is moving along to hurt me. I'm being victimized by that. I'm seeing fraud, and I'm a witness to fraud. I'm not a skeptic of that. And then you should have a little bit of information to back you up. But this Robert Kennedy Jr., climate change deniers should be punished via law, is something he said, and then backtracked because it got too hot. He tried to make a distinction. Oh, let's go blame the corporations. He's good at that. I mean, as an attorney. And yet the corporations are in on it. Remember, I've talked about all this situation with utilizing stalking horse issues to cover the assassin behind the stalking horse issue that you look at. You think you see this, you're a wild animal, you think you see another wild animal. It's just a cardboard paste up. And the attorney assassin or water keeper or whomever, environmental terrorist, is behind there with their rifle to take you out. And you miss it. Is a history for Robert Kennedy Jr. For as much as I'd like to fall into the idea, I believe what he's saying, his deeds are lying, are the truth against his current lies in his non-disclosure. How is it that he would say that climate deniers or even corporations should be prosecuted where he's referencing a fraud? It's probably and likely why he won't reference to anything I'm bringing up that says would identify the fraud in Kobe Swindle. He's not anti-vax. Do you think the CEO, Yuccarino, she's masked, she likes masks, she likes injections, she promoted COVID? All these folks are the same. And I'm having a concern here over what I see going on relative to people that I thought were really intelligent and critical thinking and discerning, that they're falling into these same traps and they're grabbing a greater percentage of those that resisted. They've already got the minds of people. How they know to do this is fascinating to me as well. I have to question, without knowing, I don't know, he won't respond to me either. Dell Bigtree? Who is he? He came out supporting JFK right off the bat. Is it only because he's myopically looking at one issue and doesn't really look at RFK Jr.'s total politics, if you will? If he is, then he's not someone that I can follow. But what if he's not? What if he's actually embracing that and we're watching another op here to gain favor? People looking like they're us, if you will, and they're not, actually. He says here there are contemptible... relative to JFK saying the climate change deniers should be jailed as he officially announces his presidential bid, he said before, they are contemptible human beings and that you know, I wish there were a law that you could punish them under relative to your climate change so-called denial. And then he said this, which I thought was interesting, in a question and relative to imprisoning climate change deniers. And I've talked about these, not Robert Kennedy Jr., particularly, but those that would, professors and all that, the university system, that would call for your arrest because you have a contrary thought and can back it up. He's answering a question, do I think the Koch brothers are treasonous? He says, yes, I do. They're enjoying making themselves billionaires by impoverishing the rest of us. Do I think that they should be in jail? I think they should be enjoying three hots and a cot. The Hague with all their war criminals are there. Koch brothers are treasonous for having a different thought. He wants to point out they're billionaires. Well, how is he running for political office? He's not unwealthy. This Kennedy guy. They're selling out to public trusts. What is that? That's that new public trust, not the one that your officials and your government, RFK, promotes here. He calls them contemptible human beings. Well, I don't know about human beings, but neither the here nor there. He meant at this time to really go after or try to make a distinction between him and others. And he's no different because you find out that corporations are people too, and they want the profit drives them into ESGs. And look who isn't involved. I mean, everybody is involved. Well, unless you get to the vanguard of the world, the Black Rocks, who then have to make distance on the reality of truthfully telling an investor what they're involved in. This is not as simple as people want to make it believe it is. He supports Ocasio in her bid through this Green New Deal, in commenting on Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Green New Deal Jr. said that he would ought to be pursuing that. He wants to pursue this as well, though he still has his own approach, believing that carbon taxes would help America transitioning away from a coal-based economy. Well, he's not answering the problem of energy either, and carbon taxes is a fraud. And that's his capitalism. Taxes. Which is offset by who? You, and then your austerity. So, again, there's on and on we could go with these problems if you understand the words you're listening to. That RFK Jr. is no different than anything else, and a lot of you would say that. What I'm saying is that I'm seeing a lot of people that would say that, like us, is supporting him. And that gets us back to who do we support? I mean, this is another discussion that goes on. But before I go right quite there, he supports this words you want to hear. And this is another clue. When you see his deeds from the past and then he gives you the words today you want to hear, that's perception management. And he knows to do it is the interesting thing. He's got people already working with him on how to do this. And he's doing a really good job, I have to say. I listen to him, I go, yeah, I really wish that was the truth. I wish your father was who he actually was. Your uncle was actually who he said he was. Yeah, he did some pretty good things. But the Democratic Party has slipped off the edge of the stinking abyss and into it, and the Republicans are just being dragged in. They're on the edge themselves, politically, over the last 40 or 50 years, 60 years, whatever it's been. So just be careful on where this was placed. RFK says climate change being exploited to push to totalitarian controls after he said that climate change deniers should be put in prison or just the corporations. He says that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the climate-related issues are being exploited by wealthy individuals in a bid to enact totalitarian controls over society. That's climate-related. What about sustainability? What about the bigger problem? Let's focus on a little one, but we're going to forget the big one? Wow. It's not true. It's true, but it's not completely true, right? Not the whole truth. Climate issues and pollution issues are being exploited. Mega billionaires like Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, Kennedy, told radio host Kim Iverson over the weekend the same way the COVID was exploited to use it as an excuse to clamp down on totalitarian controls in society and then give us engineering solutions. He speaks right to people that are freedom-minded right here. But he also conflates pollution with climate change. They're two different issues. And that climate change, those folks that created that deception, did that on purpose. He's not explaining it. He's not explaining the top-down totalitarian controls were impossible in the United States. He just uses these sound bites to get you interested. And he's doing a very good job. What about these engineering solutions? Then he talks and points to patents. Yeah, it's a patented issue, a novel issue that happened against us underneath the stalking horse of a public health crisis. These were patents. He says that he understands that, but he's not saying how it could have been stopped. Kennedy, a longtime environmental activist and lawyer, wrote in a 2014 blog post that corruptions and other groups are sponsored climate lies should be punished. So what's a lie? If you go to Kyrgyzstan, it's what the government says. We already know this. My point is this guy is utilizing these, what we know is the truth, to validate what he's doing. And in fact, he's advancing the same agenda. It'll probably maybe actually go faster because there'll be less resistance to him if it goes in. And then again, we can talk about all this political intrigue, this corporate intrigue. Nobody seems to be talking about reality either. He doesn't reference to reality, where I find NOAA, N-O-A-A, warns El Nino. There's no N-Y on top of this N either, so as I've been pronouncing it for a decade, I think I've been right. El Nino, arrival could mark significant event persistent into winter. As the surface oceans start to warm up again, the cycle, as it's almost correlating as well this time with the solar activity, there's a real thing out there. They're actually stating and showing in these articles how the increase of the water temperature is, when they measure it, to say it's El Nino versus El La Nina, is that it increases the surface temperatures over 0.9 degrees over normal. How little. And then they show you the temperature of the oceans are 0.9 and 10 over 1.0, 1.2, or negative down below the El Nino, and that's it. And then this story kind of moves in anthropomorphic additions and says, well, because of that, we're going to be pushed out of the climate control, climate change model. But wait, wait, that's a natural variation that man has no contribution to. And this is the kind of nonsense that RFK Jr. agrees with, that he's not talking about when he focuses your attention on all the corporate wrongdoing that's going on. And he's been a part of it. He's an attorney. He's a bar member. They are commissioned, if you will. They're agents. They took the oath, the extreme oath, to support sustainability, to support sustainable development. It's in their documents as a bar member, in his membership. But El Nino is on its way, folks. We're going to get some increase. That may actually cause, here's a problem for those of us in the United States in the middle. It may cause more intense tornadoes here, as more moisture gets put up in the atmosphere. But this is a giant cycle, no different than other natural cycles. It's driving this. But it only drives it within the variance of maybe 1 or 2 degrees, the same ones that climate change culprits put on us. And if we want to know, I don't know if you're going to be able to get this. I couldn't get it again. I have a link to a gentleman. I don't know who he is. The title to this is Let Me Guess, We're Being Lied To About Carbon. It's a gentleman for a minute and 30 seconds explains this natural dynamic. If you just want to hear a short segment, I put it up. I couldn't get it to come up again. I don't have Telegram. I found it once. But there's a law behind this. It has nothing to do with corporations. The exploitation's real, but attorneys are involved on it. And attorneys are involved where they won't tell you the truth of what it is, what I've been trying to show you here about with Covey Swindle. Where was the real power in the exploitation of the biological, medical, industrial complex, utilizing the censorship industrial complex to promote itself in commerce? The lawyers were doing all that, too. They made all this stuff as well. The Pentagon driving that. So this is a war, a general war against the world by the United States. And to bring out some more, if we stop understanding there's natural cycles and stop getting into this lunacy, the way they bring our societies down and the way they control us is to bring up what you think is good stuff, and yet it's not viable yet. You'll hear Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, going to control, take down coal, but he'll then promote green, like Ocasio, when in fact green is not capitalizing because it still needs subsidies. And this is what I wanted to touch on. Up to $1 trillion in clean energy subsidies is up for grabs to promote and subsidize and pay. This is tax money. Again, they have to drop the budget, right? No, they're going to put in $1 trillion in order to subsidize, prop up an industry that can't yet be profitable. And it wasn't done by capitalism. And Robert F. Kennedy would agree to this subsidy. Remember, he went carbon tax too. Taxation. That's extortion. Exactions of every kind under Title 42, 1981. He agrees with that. Up to $1 trillion in subsidies for low carbon energy and related infrastructures up for grabs. Towns and cities in the United States are also eyeing a piece of the incentive pie. Then Congress passed the IRA. It was estimated that tax credits would cost taxpayers $271 billion. This is on and on. Subsidies. I want to tell you this green energy is not profitable. Wind power has a profitability problem. Another proof for that. Despite the sharp growth over the last decade, understand this, folks, there's a lot more green, so-called green. It's not green. Alternative generation coming online. But it's all based in subsidy. They're getting paid, incentivized by tax credits and carbon tax transfers in order to pull this off. It's all a pee in a cup scam, a counting scam, it seems to me. Despite the sharp growth in the last decade, companies are realizing that it's difficult to translate wind power into profits. Some of the world's biggest wind energy companies are making huge losses despite their economies of scale. and they're really getting big. A lot of birds dying over these windmills as well. Many for environmentalists there. Many companies remain optimistic about the growth prospects for wind energy because of generous government support. There. Again, there's a couple of stories here I want to point out. These are subsidized by you, the taxpayer, or whoever the taxpayer is, and they don't make money. They're not capitalism. No one would invest in this stuff unless they had the incentive. And then we're saying, despite the incentive, power blackouts will be part of the summer in the U.S. Power blackouts. I've talked about this in California. They've given the power to local community, to local utilities to not be sufficient in power and be able to turn you off. You're being warned. Blackouts are likely this summer in the United States, according to North American Electric Reliability Corporation. Can we laugh real out loud on that? The NERC warning came late on Wednesday, calling shortfalls in power supplies to the U.S. West, Midwest, Texas. Texas! They're messing with you, Texas. I told you you wouldn't be out of it, even though you're isolated out there. Southeast and New England, as well as Ontario, as temperatures rise. Again, they're warning us, folks. They're not working to promote anything like they want, that they need. However, if you keep fighting back, court dismisses ban on new natural gas hookups in Berkeley, California. They said that you can't do that, and they can't mandate the future. So I'm hoping this is a little bit of a precedent that says they can't take out your internal combustion motors. And a lot of that is because the energy in coal and gasoline and distillates and oil is all it's inside the liquid. It's efficient. At this point, we haven't got a better one to use, and that's the only way we can continue until we break over some of the energy production problems that I'm finding out. Even hydrogen's way more expensive still with our best technology, even though we're seeing now hydrogen coming online. What's that going to do to your cost of energy? It raises it. But going back to natural gas in this story, a court said you can't knock out the future gas hookups and appliances, which may have had a big ramification. And getting back to this green thing and the fraud that it is, there's just certain realities of the world that people don't want to see. And one of the realities is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Endorsed Hillary Clinton. These people are not different. They mean the same harms. I don't care what the package is. And one more thing here, a lot of people who have rose-colored glasses about RFK Jr. simply by his stance on COVID, but that's not enough when foreign policy drives the entire world. Consider all this, folks. This is the big deal that's being missed, I think, by lots of people. The same insiders and institutions behind COVID's nefarious policies for profit and control are behind U.S. foreign and military policy. You can't simply brush that aside. These statements sound the same coming from war hawks on the right or left. No single president can change the U.S.'s current issues because it's so deep-rooted and systemic. It has to fall as an empire, and the entire thing has to come undone to be redone, as stated by Fiorella Isabel, an international news and politics on the Telegram non-app, what I could see and find. And I think she makes a very important point, which is consistent with mine. I'm looking at a lot of people on Twitter, good, intelligent people who think they discern, who have rose-colored glasses because we just want the pain to stop. And this thing is going to have to be somewhat destroyed before we can redo it. And it's not going to be done on its own, and they're not going to do it. They're going to build and transform the law the way they want it. It's governance, not government. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature World.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just open a whole case of Woolpath.